It's the last day of 2017. Can you believe that? I never thought I would say the words 2017. I really didn't think. You just think about growing up. The thought of 2017 was like so far. That was like on another planet. And to be standing here before you and say 2017, that just seems so weird to me. But there it is. Here we are, 2017. And we're closing out the year. I usually like to try to close out the year and encourage people about the coming year. And this year is no different. I want to encourage you about the coming year, that God has given you opportunities and there's things for you to do to participate and to grow and to be a part of the building of God's kingdom. But this year, I sense, has been very difficult for a lot of people. I mean, you just look at all the things that have happened this year. It's been a difficult year. And there seems to be a lot of uncertainty coming about the year, about going forward, about what is going to happen. I mean, just watch the news and all the different circumstances that we see as a nation, as we see as the world, as we see in each other's lives. There's a lot of uncertainty. We're not sure what's going to happen. And I just want you to be thinking about this, like if you could sum up this whole year for you, what would you say? What would be the word? You don't have to say it, but just think about that for a moment. And how do you feel about the coming year? I mean, are you optimistic? Or are you pessimistic? Or are you like, oh my gosh, I don't want to face this? Or, oh man, the future's bright. I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, maybe an economic situation. Maybe you're facing relationship issues you're not sure of. Maybe you're struggling in your faith. Maybe you feel like you've just been bowled over this year and you find yourself in a place that you haven't been in a long time and you're looking to make a change. Or maybe you're looking forward to next year and you see the future is bright. Maybe you're like the song, "The future is so bright, I gotta wear sunglasses." Maybe you're that guy. You know, you just can't wait to get started. Either way, this morning, I want to remind you of who you are. And most of all, I want to remind you who you are in God. And I want to remind you that God is still God. Amen. That has not stopped. It has not changed. And you know what? He's been God from the beginning. And guess what? He'll be God tomorrow and forever. God is still God. This morning's message is titled, "Don't Be Afraid." And we're going to look at Isaiah 41:10. So if you have your Bibles on your phone and your tablet, whatever you got, the pew in front of you, we want to open up our Bibles to Isaiah. Just open up the middle and start working towards the New Testament, and you'll hit the prophet Isaiah. And just to give you some background while you're turning to Isaiah 41:10, let me give you some background to what's happening in this chapter. Judah is facing a very difficult situation. Israel by this time has already been taken captive. The kingdom split, if you remember, after Solomon. Israel's already gone. The nation of Israel to the north is gone. The Assyrians have taken them. And Judah is to the south. And so you can see that they've watched the whole northern kingdom be taken. They've had Sennacherib knock on their doors and want to take them, but God spared them. They got the Babylonians coming. They got all these big forces. They got the Egyptians from the south, and they just feel like they're just getting beat up in the middle of this. I mean, just imagine, you know, I think about the African proverb that says, when elephants wrestle, it's the grass that suffers. That's where they're at. They can't control anything that's happening around them. And they are just getting beat up, and the end is coming for them. And God is telling them through the prophet Isaiah. They haven't been taken into exile at this point, but the nation that they once knew is gone. It's divided, and they've lost control of what they've had, what they once had. The people can't see the future. They don't know exactly what's going to happen. And what they do see, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for them at all. People feel abandoned by God, and they're at the mercy of powerful nations that surround them. So just imagine that feeling. Maybe you can relate. Think about this for a minute. Have you ever felt like God isn't listening anymore? That God just has abandoned you? Maybe he's just to your circumstances and you're put in a position where you just feel helpless. Have you ever felt that way? Like just the powers around you, you have no control over. It's just going to happen. Like losing a home. I remember losing our home. I was thinking about, there's nothing I can do about this. This is just the powers to be. I have no control over this. I can't change it. It's just going to happen. So what do? You know, you can feel like God has kind of abandoned you at that moment. Maybe he's not listening to you. What I love about our God is that he knows what the people are feeling in this chapter. He knows what they're feeling. And he reminds them to stay strong, to be more positive, to grab hold of their destiny. Does he do that? No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say any of those things. That's what the world tells us today, though, isn't it? That's all about you, that you can figure it out. Grab your destiny. It's your purpose. You're your own hope. God says none of that here. He says nothing like that. I don't want that recorded and like come back to haunt me one day, because that's not what he's saying here. No, God doesn't say any of that. He simply reminds them that he is God and that you're not. He simply reminds them of who he is. And I love that. Just think about the power behind that. He doesn't say it's about you. He says, no, I'm God. I'm God. Here's what he says. Here's the verse in 41:10. He says, do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. That's what he tells them. God reminds them of who he is and what he's done. Firstly, he tells them, do not fear, for I am with you. He is reminding them that he's never left them. He's never left them, no matter what their circumstances that they've gone through. And if you read the Old Testament, you see all the circumstances that Judah and Israel together have gone through. You can see it over and over again. And God is saying, I've been with you the whole time. I've been with you the whole time. I've been with you from the beginning of the promises to Abraham, to Moses. I led you out in the desert. I provided for you. I was with you with Joshua when we went in and took the nation of Israel and we established it, a kingdom. I was with King David. I'm with you now. I've always been with you. I've never left you. That's what he's reminding them. God is always with us. Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. There is never a moment in your life you are without God. God is always with you. Even when you don't feel it, he is with you. I want to remind you to think back. Sometimes we have a very short memory. Anybody have a short memory? You forget things? Just think about this for a minute. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think back. You know, this is a good exercise too. If you want to go home this afternoon and do a little spiritual lesson, is just go home and take a piece of paper out and write all the times that God has been with you. Just think about all the times that God is with you, all the times he's protected you, all the times he's provided with you, all the times he's enabled you, and all the times he's strengthened you. Just think about all those times. And let that serve as a reminder to you that God has never left you. And let that be an encouragement to you. Let that be an encouragement. You know, and put it somewhere. And pull it out every once in a while and add to it or just read through it again. Just remind yourself God is with you. Second, he reminds not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. And I think about being afraid. You know, being a father and being a child myself at one time, I was. That's true. I have pictures to prove it. But you know, a lot of times being afraid is because you're not in control. We're afraid of things we can't control. Am I right? So you become fearful. And when we're facing things that we don't know, we become afraid. And I think of a small child in this situation. Maybe you've seen this. There's something like of uncertainty, and they're unsure that they can do it. I don't know, I think about maybe like standing on the edge of a pool, can they dive into the water and swim? Or, you know, there's all these situations that happen in life, and then you can watch a child work through the uncertainty, but something happens when dad suddenly stands beside them. Right? All of a sudden they're encouraged. All of a sudden they feel confident. All of a sudden they're willing to step out into some unknown thing, and they're not so afraid. Here's the thing, God is always with us. Our Father is standing next to us. Always. We just got to remember. He is our Father. Who is like Him? Who is like God? Who is like our God? Just stop and think for a moment. Who is like Him? Who created the stars and named them? One by one. Who created the mountains and set them on their foundation? Who created the oceans and established their boundaries? Who brings the rise and fall of nations? Who created you and knows everything about you? Who knows your thoughts before you think them and the words you speak before you speak them? It's God. He knows you in every way. Who is like our God? He is perfect in every way. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and He is everywhere at once. Who is like the living God? There is no one like Him. He is far above us. And that's what we want to see in this. When He says, I am your God, He's reminding you, I'm above you. I'm watching over you. And there is nothing more powerful than me. Nothing in this life is too big for your God. There is nothing. There is nothing. It's just a matter of trusting Him. Just a matter of trusting Him. If that isn't enough, we could stop right there, couldn't we? But it's not enough, right? God gives us these three I will statements. He says these three I will statements. Now, and when I say that, I want you to know He doesn't say, you will. They're totally independent of you. They're not dependent on you in any way, shape, or form. They all are dependent upon God. God is the one who's taking the initiative, not you. It is God. So it's this powerful God who's over everything, who's done all these things, who's you have nothing to fear about. He's the one who's doing this. And the first thing He says, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. I'm thankful for the reality that God is there in times of my life to strengthen me. Has there ever been a time in your life where God has stepped in and He has strengthened you? I think about 1 Peter 4:11. Because there's times like in life and in ministry where you just get totally overwhelmed. You're like, I can't do this. And listen to what Peter says. Peter says this. He says, for if anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. That's a sermon in all itself right there. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides. There's a lot of things in life that if you run after on your own, you're going to fail. I'm going to tell you right now. You have to be in the strength that God provides. That means walking in His pace, not running ahead of Him, but staying with Him so that God may be glorified. Because at the end of it, this is the statement, right? Our lives, this is what's going to be said. So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him be the glory and the power forever. Amen. Because at the end of the day, whatever we accomplish, we're not going to say, I did that. I accomplished that. That's not what's going to be said. What's going to be said, if you're relying on God's strength, is God got me through that. God did this in my life. God did this. God is getting all the glory. And it's not about me. It's about what God did. Amen? Are you catching this? You guys awake? All right. We're almost there. Hang in there. He says, I will help you. God says, I will help you. Look, and I think about the psalmist when he says, I lift my eyes towards the mountains. And where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God is our help. This word help can be a military help. It can be to support or assist. But here it is, assist. Here it is that God is walking with us, walking alongside us. He assisted us. We can see in this passage, this thought, that God is over us when he says, I am your God. And in this we see that God is all around us. He's surrounding us. So that no matter where the enemy attacks or no matter what happens, God is helping us. There's nothing that surprises him. He knows what's going to happen, and he is there to assist us. He's there. He surrounds us. God is always with us, helping us in our time of need. He never leaves us. And lastly, he says, I will hold you with my righteous right hand. I will hold you. God holds us with his strong hand. And it's not his left hand. It's his right hand. To hold is to keep, to remain, or to make last. It's like to protect you again. He protects us and keeps us by his righteousness. Listen to the words of Jesus. I love this, how he's talking about salvation here and about our lives. But he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Listen, he says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Because his righteous right hand holds us. We are his. We belong to him. And here's what else he says. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Here we see the imagery of Christ talking to the Father. We see the Trinity. We see Father and Son, Holy Spirit, holding on to us, strengthening us, not letting us go. No matter what happens in this life, they're hanging on to us. It's not about, sometimes we feel like we're falling off the cliff, but God has got us. He is holding on to us. He's not letting us go. God's promises to those who are his is that he will strengthen you. He will help you. He will hold on to you with his righteous hand. That is the promises that are being made this morning. And we don't need to walk in fear because God is with us. We don't need to walk in fear. We don't have to be afraid of what might happen to us or be afraid of what we might lose. I think that's a big one for us. We're more afraid of what we'll lose, and we forget about what we're gaining. We hold on to this life like it's everything. But this is just the beginning. It's like standing in line for the big roller coaster for Magic Mountain or whatever and wanting to stay in line and never get on the ride. Why would you do that? Why do you fight to stand in line all day and not get on what God has in store for you? Do you hear that? God has plans for you, big ones. You know, in this life, this is just the beginning of what God is going to do in your life. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. And you know what I say that? I don't want you to think like I have some death wish you want to go. Here's what I'm saying. Is that if you think about this for a moment, it frees you. It frees you to live. You know, we live in this, we're shackled many times about life. We think that life is, this is all it's about. So what happens is we get shackled. We try to store up as many things as we can. We try to get that retirement plan. We try to get all this. But here's the reality. You're going to die. And you're going to do this. You're like a little hamster on the wheel. You're going to be running, running, running. And one day, you're just going to collapse on the wheel. And the wheel keeps spinning. You're just going to get tossed out because it never stops, right? That's life. But you can step out of that. You don't have to live in that little wheel. You can be free. You can live the way that God wants you to live. You can help others. You can invest in other people. You can do great things for the kingdom of God. You can be a part of God building his kingdom. You can share your faith with other people. You can grow the kingdom now. You can be a part of that. You can be, he says, I come to give you life, life more abundantly, right? He didn't say, you know, just you're secured until you pass on. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you have an abundancy now. That's a whole side note there, but I'm sorry. I just want you to see that. I want you to grab that. I want you to run with that. Don't get stuck. He is God, and we can trust him in this life and the life to come. So this morning, here's the question that it all comes down to. Is do you trust him? Here we see these big words in this Bible, and you got the big pastor up here saying the big words and encouraging you and saying believe, but the bottom line, it comes down between you and God. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Do you trust him with your children? Do you trust him with your spouse? Do you trust him with your relationships? Do you trust him in every aspect of life, with your health? Do you trust him? Do you believe? Do you believe? And here's what I want to start. I want to start the new year, 2018, by simply saying, I believe. Amen. I believe. I believe all these words. I believe what God has said to me. I believe in the promises. I believe in Jesus Christ. So I don't know where you are this morning. You know, I want to give an invitation for you to come forward. I want you to come forward. Let's start 2018 with saying, I believe, by putting my faith in Jesus Christ. And what am I putting my faith in? Am I putting my faith in a prayer that I say or something that someone tells me? No, here's what I'm putting my faith in. I'm putting my faith in the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth. God in flesh walked among us, lived a perfect life. He took that life. He satisfied the law in every way. He took that life because he knew you could never live it. He lived it for you in your place, and he sacrificed it on the cross to satisfy the wrath of God, because God's judgment is on all of us, and we can't escape it. We're children under wrath, the Bible tells us. But thanks to God that he sent his son to die for our sins. And God poured his wrath out on Jesus Christ, the just for the unjust. He died. He was buried. So he took our sins to the grave. Buried. They're atoned for by his blood. And they took him to the grave. And guess what he did? He didn't lay in the grave. He laid there for 3 days and he popped out. Not popped out, he raised, resurrection, right? He rose, and by doing so, he defeated death. He defeated sin and death in one swoop. He did it, not me. I can't do it. So when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I'm putting my faith in what Jesus did. That's what I'm putting my faith in. And I'm saying, because of what you did for me, you're my Lord. I'm surrendering. I surrender. Amen. I surrender. It's not like, hey, I'm going to walk with you. You're good bud. We're friends, right? That's not what it is. No, you're Lord. You're Lord of my life. I will follow you wherever you go. I will do what you tell me to do. You are Lord. See, I mean, we get the, like, saying I believe. The lordship part is a whole nother animal, right? I mean, we like to say we believe in Jesus, but to say I surrender to Jesus, I give myself over to him, that's a little harder for us, isn't it? Because none of us, especially in America, like to hand over the reins to somebody else. We're in control. We don't like to give God control, especially a God we can't see. It's hard for us, but here it is. Here's what the Bible teaches us, to surrender, to give lordship to say, I believe, and you are Lord. Peter said, my Lord, my God. That's what we do. We surrender. We say, you are Lord and you are God, and I am not. Take my life. Take it. Let me find myself in you and not in myself or in the world. Let me find myself in you.